The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's step into that interview right now as I have Mr. Archer on the line. So good morning to you. Let's briefly talk about who Mr. Phil Archer is. With over 24 years in the media production industry, Phil produced several, well over a dozen, award-winning commercials and campaigns across several mediascapes, radio, print, TV, and digital media, including coveted Best in Show at the Addie Awards, as well as Best of Film, Video, and Sound in the Addies in 2020. Most notable and recent project as the Barbados Unit Production Supervisor for the 2021 Netflix original number one series worldwide smash hit Outer Banks season 2 and season 3. Impressive. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
And welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me about your journey within this creative path. You know, how did you get into it? Where did the bug first bite you? You know, tell us about your journey.
Well, my background is actually in music and audio. I was a musician growing up, like in my teens. My entire family is musically inclined. That's kind of where I started. You know, I got to the point where I was ready to go to university. And I went to a technical college in Florida and got my degree in recording engineering and came back to Barbados. And started in that business. And then I started my business around 21, 22 years old and did that for about 10 years. And then I got into sound design for animation. And that led to me getting the opportunity to produce animation and animated pieces like commercials and, you know, short stories for NGOs and that sort of thing. And that's where the bug really bit me, because coming from creating audio and music from scratch, I really enjoyed the transition to creating visuals along with that audio. And so I think that's where the bug bit me. And I produced a lot of commercials in animated format, and then it switched to sort of a hybrid live and animation, and then, you know, commercials from there. And then about in 2018, I got the opportunity to work with Sky TV in the UK, what they call fixing. And this has nothing to do with the mafia. This is basically handling logistics and planning and hiring crew and that sort of thing for filmmakers that come into a country. They don't know the lay of the land, they don't know anybody, and I'm that bridge between the local entities and the overseas film producers. And so that was my start in large format television at that time, and I fell in love with it. It's very dynamic. It you know, every job is unique and different. It faces its own challenges. And I love a challenge, so that's kind of where I got started, and it just took off from there.
Now, how has film affected your personal and business life? I know that this is a very intense field, but for those who see the end product, can you give an idea of what goes into it so that they can sit back and eat popcorn to, you know, see the end product?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because a lot of people, like you said, don't necessarily think of that or not aware of the amount of work that goes into preparation for something. And the majority of the work actually happens way before a camera is even taken out of a bag. You know, a lot of pre-production planning, logistics, meetings after meetings. It is very intensive. I can say that since I started television, I've been traveling more than not since 2018, 2019. It's been pretty intense, and you know, it does affect your personal life. You don't have as many opportunities to line and hang out and see your friends and family, but at the same time, it is extremely rewarding to be able to be a part of something much bigger than yourself and play a key role in that operation, and then seeing the feedback of the public after that is a very satisfying feeling, you know, and especially when the show does well.
And I guess that's why a lot of actors and those who are in the field in terms of cameramen, producers, etc., they say that the on-set family is really their family, because they end up spending so much time, you know, coming early on a set, leaving very late, you know, so you become very integrated into their lives. Now, just before we came into the interview, we were speaking from Trinidad's perspective in understanding that, you know, it's going to be tight for us, according to our finance minister, for the next 3 years because of oil and gas production and costs and all of that. And the talk of diversifying the economy, it's very much on the minds of those who are involved in that. How does film production and people like yourself, how can we create that sort of diversity to bring in that income that may be missing?
Yes, well, I mean, I think that's a very, very good question, because, for example, I'll give you a case study for myself in Barbados. So I'm Bajan. I'm actually half Trini, but mm-hmm. I was born in Barbados. You know, our Prime Minister, Ms. Motley, shared similar concerns, especially when the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And I got hired right before the pandemic lockdown in 2020. It was December. And, you know, basically everything stopped. There was, you know, no border entries. It was very difficult to travel. You know, it was only essential services on the road. You know, the economy on our bread and butter in Barbados is tourism. So, you know, we had similar concerns. And when Outer Banks came in, you know, it really helped prop up the economy during that time that we needed it most. You know, they brought in millions of dollars in foreign exchange. And what a lot of people don't realize is when a film production comes to a country, it supports every single aspect of services within that country. Mm-hmm. We're talking from, you know, garbage collection to feeding the crew, housing them, medical services, transport, anything you can think of that a human being needs. Mm-hmm. We need to support that crew with everything, because, you know, they're in a foreign country. They don't have their own services. And so the economic benefit of film is massive, and it's also very widespread. So, you know, we're hiring local crew, we're hiring cleaners, laundry services. And so I think it's a really, really good way to diversify away from your main source of income and help also support the creative industries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the film business is a massive business. The media business is even bigger. You know, and we're talking, you know, video game industry is even bigger than the film industry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those services are also integrated in terms of, you know, virtual capture and filming and that sort of thing. So I think it's a very, very big industry to explore when looking to diversify an economy. And it's big business. I think it's a really, really good option to explore. And Trinidad has fantastic crew and locations, and mm-hmm. you know, I think the Caribbean as a whole needs to be really propped up and sold more than it is right now. I mean, a lot of countries like Trinidad, Dominican Republic, Jamaica are doing well. Barbados is now you know, finalizing its film legislation, so that's coming on board now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's a fantastic route to go.
And then on top of that, the franchise part of it, we haven't discussed it yet, which is another realm altogether in terms mm-hmm. of, branding, marketing items. From that as well, I'm thinking that putting in tourism in that aspect is something that should be looked into as well. You know, because when Absolutely. The crews come in, they get to see the scenic locations. There was one, as I was asking question, I remembered that there was a movement towards looking at the Caribbean to scout locations, because many people had different stories to tell and were looking for locations on that. How has that search, if you know of any information on that, how has that been for the Caribbean, and have we the potential to really turn it into, let's say, a Hollywood of the Caribbean?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's a joke that goes around in North America and Europe that starts with a palm tree on a beach. And this is because when winter is coming, all the crews want to do is find an opportunity to travel to a warm, sunny place. And that's a fact. You know, it's seasonal. A lot of people and a lot of crews want to come down here and escape some of the winter, just like people who want a vacation. The Caribbean is a fantastic place to film in terms of diversity of locations and all the different subcultures within the Caribbean. You know, every Caribbean island has its own unique flavor of Caribbean culture and lifestyle. And for example, when Outer Banks came here, as opposed to they have the system in filmmaking where, you know, you can cheat a location. And that is basically when, for example, the first season, it was season two of Outer Banks came down. They filmed in Barbados, but the narrative was Bahamas. And the reason for this is, you know, the season one ended with the cast members going to Bahamas to search for this thing. I'm not going to put out too many spoilers. But then when, after the season finished, season one finished, they went and actually scouted the Bahamas, and they found that, you know, the infrastructure wasn't what they needed. Some of the storylines didn't fit the locations that they needed. And it just wasn't an ideal location for them to fit the narrative. So then they spread out their search throughout the Caribbean, and they came to Barbados and fell in love with it. They fell in love with the aesthetic. We have, you know, the business infrastructure to support it. We have, you know, the government supporting that sort of thing and the tourism product. So they chose Barbados, and, you know, season two came out with them being in Bahamas, but it was actually filmed in Barbados. And that is, and then season three did the same thing. We filmed Barbados for Barbados, but we also filmed it for Martinique. We filmed it for South America, Caracas, and Trinidad, for example, has even more of a diverse location because of, you know, all the jungle and the mountains and, you know, beaches and also the urban areas. So there are opportunities there. For example, if they had to go to South America, that would be an entirely different level of logistics and expenditure, and there's the language barrier. So they saved a lot of money in the production being able to do that. And so, you know, another job I did recently was for ITV in the UK for a reality series called Fortune Hotel. And I was initially hired as a location scout, basically a researcher. I didn't have to travel, but I had to find this perfect hotel for them in a tropical location. And I scoured from the Northern Caribbean all the way down to Trinidad and Tobago. And eventually we settled on Grenada. And the reason for this was, you know, the hotel was perfect. It had the ability to shut down for 6 weeks. So we bought out this five-star hotel for 6 weeks. And again, you know, the economic impact to Grenada during that time was fantastic. We almost bought out two hotels because we had to book the overflow of the crew in the first hotel into the other hotel, the Radisson next to it. And again, we had to hire lots of services and that sort of thing. So I think the potential, you know, that's a long answer to your question, that the potential for filmmaking in the Caribbean is massive. You know, and the diversity for locations and the tourism product, you know, basically what's happening right now is any show that's being filmed, it's not like old traditional TV where, you know, you watch it once and it goes away and you don't see it again. It lives on their
syndication
VOD, platform. It lives, you know, it's on Netflix indefinitely. It's on ITV's ITVX digital platform indefinitely. And these are hour-long commercials for whatever country it is filmed in. And you really can't pay for that level of PR or marketing. It's you know, invaluable.
And how does the countries involved get into, I don't want to say negotiations, but situations with Netflix? Because Netflix has been in the news a lot in terms of how they stream their content, how they create their content. A little controversial at times, but how does a country get involved with that streaming service and others so that what we just talked about can be beneficial to them? How did your relationship come together?
So the most important thing any country can do in the film industry is have legislation with concessions, which Trinidad and Tobago actually does have. Mm-hmm. So a concession is basically where a film will come to a country, and there is a mechanism set up within the Ministry of Finance or their finance body where they benefit from tax breaks or rebates or some sort of incentive concessions where the filmmaker saves money or gets a rebate back on their investment into the film. Mm-hmm. And basically, if a country does not have that, you may as well not exist. There's literally a database online for filmmakers from television, documentary, and feature films, where they will go online and look up the best fit between what the creative needs in terms of the storytelling and the visuals and that sort of thing, and then also compare that to the financial benefits that they will reap by traveling to this country. And so, you know, it's very important for Caribbean territories to understand and realize this, because you know, it's very difficult for a filmmaker to go to a new country every single time and have to negotiate bespoke each and every time they travel to a new country, because you know, a film can travel to multiple countries within a production. So having that mechanism easy that they can trigger by approaching the Ministry of Finance and the Film Commission in that country and saying, we're coming to this country for X amount of weeks or months, we're spending this amount of money, whether it's 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, and then the concessions will kick in and that will start the mechanism. But having to do that each and every time brand new with a government is just a painstaking thing that most filmmakers want to avoid. So I've actually been able to travel the Caribbean quite a lot in recent years. And, you know, every time I go to a new country like Grenada or Trinidad, I try to meet with, you know, the film bodies and, you know, the relevant authorities just to sit down and understand how their concessions work, if they have them, which I did with Film TT on my last trip last week. And if they don't have them, I sit with the relevant people and explain the importance of having that, because you're not even on the radar if you don't. So luckily, you know, Grenada is right now starting up their Creative Industries Act, and they're in the process of putting together a film commission, as far as I understand. And as a region, it's really important for the individual governments to understand that mechanism needs to happen in order to have a viable and sustainable film industry.
Now, going from the foreign film industry to local content and production, some of the things that you mentioned, of course, caters to that foreign market. But what is really needed to create local content? I know you speak for Barbados, but I guess it would apply to Trinidad and Tobago as well. I know that there's a very delicate line and balance between understanding that, okay, you need to portray a local feel and local content, but also understanding, yeah, we need the foreign exchange and we need that. How do we foster that local content so that we can, portray individual countries and their culture and not forget or just solely depend on foreign? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's very, very important. You know, the Caribbean is relatively young in terms of the film industry. We have had a lot of feature films and television series coming out here. It's a hugely popular region for people to come. It's very close to North America. Mm-hmm. Europeans love it. But in terms of the local creatives, I think Trinidad is doing quite well. Obviously, it's a much larger population than Barbados or Grenada, for example. And Trinidadians are exquisitely creative. I think it's just a part of the culture. You know, every person I know in Trinidad is creative on some level. I don't know if that's just because my family is a creative family or that's the people that I know, but, you know, I always admire the creativity of Trinidadians. You know, I think they're doing quite well in terms of the industry. What I would say is that the Caribbean on a whole needs more training in terms of support. So, you know, a lot of filmmakers start off and they immediately want to be a director of photography or a film mm-hmm. director or producer, which, you know, which is understandable. You want to shoot for the stars. But what's really, really important are those supporting roles like gaffers, which is the lighting and electric, and mm-hmm. grips and sound technicians. And, you know, those people are the lifeblood of a production. And what I would love to see is, you know, either a large institution or a school. UWE does have a film program, mm-hmm. which is quite good. But I would love to see a lot more vocational training and support in terms of being able to bolster those numbers within the industry. Because a lot of times, for example, if two or three large productions come to Barbados, a lot of the crew are booked up and they have to bring in their own crew from overseas, which is something, you know, that's not necessarily ideal. It's good on one way because the locals that are hired onto the production get to learn and observe mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. from the overseas people. But at the same time, you know, we want to be able to hire and support local technicians and local creatives to get that experience internationally to then, you know, build and bolster the industry even more. So mm-hmm. it's a bit of a catch-22. But I do think training is something that really needs to be pushed and supported on a technical level so that we can meet those international standards adequately, both in quality and in numbers. But, you know, we're doing quite well so far. We have amazing technical and creative people in Barbados and in the region and in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are, well, the younger ones who are listening, if they are, I know some of them will be at home off of exams. You mentioned animation in your history. Probably you could tell us about, if you know of any schools in terms of that and other parts of this creative industry for young people to get into, and that would be accredited so that they can, I guess, help with the productions that you're talking about and become part of it.
Yeah, of course. Well, the first one that comes to mind in terms of training in outside of the Caribbean region, you know, like I said, there's UWE that does quite a decent film program. There's a school called, the one that I went to is called Full Sail, FullSail. Mm-hmm. And it is a multimedia university where you can go to become a recording engineer for music or post-production sound for film. Or you can get a degree. You can get, I think it's up to a master's now in film or film business. They also have digital animation programs for animation for film or animation for video gaming. They have an entire degree in gaming. So this school is actually quite multifaceted and quite popular. You'll see a lot of Full Sail alumni in the Oscars and mm-hmm. you know, Cannes Film Festivals and that sort of thing. So that's one, but most good universities have a film program. University of Florida has a great program. There's NYU Film Academy, which is fantastic. So, you know, a quick Google search will show you, you know, the best ones to go to. And obviously, you know, in terms of getting started, you know, what I would say is almost everybody has the tools that they need to do what they need to do in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Every phone these days has a decent camera, mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily the camera that makes the film, it's the person holding it, mm-hmm. you know. So practice. You can go out and, you know, film a short story with your friends, you know. There's a lot of free applications for animation that will teach you. There's one called Toon Boom Animation, which is free online to download and learn, and they have courses. Video editing software, DaVinci Resolve, that's a free program that you can download. There's a free version and a paid version,
mm-hmm.
but the free version is perfectly good to learn how to edit, and there are free courses online that the companies actually put out to encourage people to learn. So if you're of the type of person that can, you know, be self-taught and learn from YouTube, a lot of filmmakers do that and they do quite well.
And
you know, it's just finding a way to do it.
Finding a way to, and actually, I guess having the fortitude and the longevity to continue learning and continuing applying what you've learned.
Absolutely.
To your craft.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, thirst for learning is super important. And the thing is that it needs to be continual because the technology is always
changing,
always
advancing.
And so you have to keep, you know, your finger on the pulse of technology at all times to be able to stay in the game.
Mm-hmm. And well, you mentioned the phone, in terms of the phone and social media, how has the idea of social media taking over traditional forms of other media that we are accustomed to, like in television production and so on? One thing I remember, Mark Ruffalo and the Avengers fiasco, where he went into the theater at the premiere and he had his phone streaming live on social media, unbeknownst to him, and you know, gave away teasers, you know, for the movies. So I wanted to find out from you, how do you see social media and their place in moving forward in terms of film and that technology, and do you see it helping or kind of being an adversary to the more traditional forms?
Well, I mean, I think like anything else in life, I think there's good and bad aspects to social media. You know, obviously social media is very addictive, and it can be very polarizing in terms of, you know, social impact. Mm-hmm. With that said, on the flip side, social media is also a very useful tool for disseminating information that may not be disseminated by traditional media, and connecting people in a way that's never been seen before in our civilization, in human life. You know, never before has humanity been so connected. And I think that if you can leverage that in a positive way, it can change almost any industry. And so, yeah, the film industry has been impacted positively in the sense that people who that may not necessarily have an avenue to access platforms like Netflix or other streaming platforms like Amazon Prime or something, you know, they can have a creative outlet and sort of cut their teeth professionally on social media. And there are a lot of cases, like Mr. Beast, for example. He's a good example.
Yeah,
this guy is a multi-millionaire. Mm-hmm. He has the most viewed channel on YouTube, and he's an international superstar. He's never been on TV. I'm sure he has interviews, but his platform is social media.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that platform for good. He gives away lots of money. He's a philanthropist. You know, he highlights problems in society. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good example of how social media can be leveraged for positive outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually, you know, the lines are continuing to get blurred. A lot of people are telling their own stories on social media, and it's gaining traction. And these days, kids watch a lot less TV and film mm-hmm. than they do social media. They're on TikTok and they're on, you know, Instagram more than they are on TV.
Yeah.
Like, my daughter doesn't even watch TV.
And don't ask them what a newspaper is. They wouldn't be able to tell you.
Exactly.
They wouldn't be
exactly.
able to tell you.
It's very true.
So yeah. You're seeing it's a very positive thing to enter into this sphere that is called media. And from film's perspective, looking through, well, you brought up Mr. Beast, and there are many other examples of people actually taking the platform like that and creating their own films and bringing their own stories
yes.
to light. I think, well, let me ask you this question first. Do you think it's because of how I don't want to use the word closed off, but very cliquish the film industry can be at times, not allowing for, let's say, other expressions to come out, that they've turned towards those platforms to bring forward their own stories?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the film industry is not easy to break into on a good day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very cliquish, like you said, and it's very specialized.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find a lot of Caribbean filmmakers, for example, might face challenges with is that coming up, you have to know a little bit about almost every aspect of filmmaking. You have to know about lighting, you have to know about grip, you have to know about camera. And, you know, the industry is still emerging, and, you know, in order to make a living, you have to almost accept every job that comes your way
mm-hmm.
and figure out how to do it along the way. And so that creates what we call a generalist, where somebody knows filmmaking in general, and you know, they can touch on almost every aspect of it. But the film industry outside of the Caribbean and in, you know, larger, more established territories like Hollywood or Atlanta or Toronto, everybody's a specialist. Mm-hmm. Everybody has one single thing that they do. You're a key grip, or you're a gaffer, mm-hmm. or you are a focus puller or a camera assistant, and that's all you do. Mm-hmm. All day, every day. So I think that's a bit of a difference.
That would also apply to the union positions that are in.
Absolutely.
You know, that, involved
and
in
unions
that.
Unions actually are very strict with that. Like mm-hmm. a gaffer cannot touch a camera mm-hmm. unless he's specifically instructed to. That sort of thing is very ingrained in the industry in terms of the unions. So mm-hmm. yes, you're absolutely correct. But in terms of allowing social media to be a new platform for storytellers that may not have access to the film industry, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fantastic platform for people to cut their teeth on the industry, learn by doing. That's the way I learn best, to be honest with you. I'm very hands-on, mm-hmm. And I love to learn. And I've always learned by doing, and you know, that's a part of the process that I love. And social media allows people to have a community and a viewership that may not be otherwise accessible to people that don't have access to, you know, Hollywood or filmmakers. And like you said, getting into this sort of thing, you find your tribe, mm-hmm. you find your people, you find your community that support you. And that's something that I think is brand new to you know, culture and society in general. So I think that aspect of social media is fantastic because it gives people a voice that would not necessarily have a voice before, and tell stories that may not necessarily be told or be picked up by traditional media mm-hmm. or Western media in general.
Or a little too difficult to tell.
Yeah, you know, it gives people that may not have a voice, like, you know, underserved society, minorities, mm-hmm. underprivileged. It gives people a voice and it gives them a chance to highlight. So I think that's a really good aspect of socials.
And how it is integrated. Well, we've got a couple more minutes left in the hour. Any last words of encouragement? You know, probably you tell them, don't get involved, you'll lose all your hair, kind of thing.
Getting into. Right now I'm knocking on, but I still have some of my hair. But what I would say, to answer your question from before, you asked how I got into the whole Netflix thing. Mm-hmm. What I would say to young people coming up is don't be afraid to say yes to something you don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. You need to start before you're ready. You know, when the first job came to me when I was back in 2018, it was a massive car show similar to Top Gear or the Grand Tour. And the producer called me and said, hey, Phil, we want to come to Barbados, this sort of thing. Do you think you can handle it? I said, well, I've never managed anything of this scale before, but it doesn't intimidate me because I think I have the ability to adapt. Mm-hmm. And he appreciated my honesty and he said, well, we've never done anything of this scale either. Mm-hmm. So welcome on board. And he hired me. So what I would say is don't be afraid to try something you've never tried before, because everybody has a first time doing something. Mm-hmm. You know, Steven Spielberg was a first-time filmmaker at one point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think you need to be able to be tenacious and be confident in yourself and your abilities, and really assess whether you can take on something that you've never taken on before. And I think that boldness and that trust in yourself is really, really important in anything in life, really. I think that's a good life lesson in general, but for filmmaking. Once you've put your best self forward and really sort of believe in yourself and just go for it, you just kind of got to go for it. And if you fail, mm-hmm. then you learn your lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, if something goes wrong, you learn your lesson and be honest with the people that you fail with or that you let down. But, you know, 9 out of 10 times, they'll appreciate your honesty and, you know, you do well. And that's how it took off for me. And from there, it just was sort of word of mouth. The industry is very, very word of mouth. So,
yeah,
you know, people hear Barbados and your name comes up and that sort of thing. So it starts to build momentum and it sort of snowballs. So I'm very grateful for those opportunities.
And I guess that be on time and actually, you know, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the film industry,
time is everything.
Yeah. 15 minutes early is on time. And if you're on time, you're late.
Basically. That's one of the key things I've heard within that industry as well. Yeah.
Very much so. So being professional is very important. Conducting yourself in a certain way, being punctual, you know, responding to emails in a timely manner, that sort of thing. You know, it's very important to keep those standards high.
Mr. Archer, thank you so much for taking the time to give us this insight into the film industry, and best of luck on your endeavors. And I'm glad that you didn't say much about Outer Banks, because us Trinis here probably would be, you know, some of us, they're kind of infatuated with the show, so glad that they didn't give out any spoilers.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute honor. You know, I really enjoyed my time in Trinidad last week. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. And, you know, I hope to come back and make some magic on Trinidadian chores.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to that. Thank you so much.
All right.
And take care.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.